Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you.
For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just go to GetCopperhead.com. That's GetCopperhead.com for your two free gifts with purchase. GetCopperhead.com.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have got a lot going on today, and we're going to be talking to a great guest a little bit later in the program, Steve Baker, who's an investigative journalist over at The Blaze. And he's been all over the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. And folks, this is far from over. And we've got a big problem on our hands within the Trump administration. I want to explain all of this to you because I got some messages last night. Starnes, why are you being so rough on Trump? Well, I'm not being rough on Trump at all. As a matter of fact, when you... I hope at by the end of today's show, you will understand exactly where I am coming from on this criticism that I'm about to levy on the on Trump world, because it really doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump other than the fact that he is the president of the United States. And yes, the buck does stop with him. But you need to understand some things, first of all, about the inner workings of the White House and what's going on. The president of the United States is not involved in the nuance of every single thing that's happening in his administration. It's impossible. No president is. No president ever has been. There's just too much going on. So when you look at who is running the White House, that would be the chief of staff, Susie Wiles. And then from there, you've got all of the agencies and all the other staff. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people. I think about 3,000 people work just in the West Wing. So you've got a lot of people that are working for the president and doing things. And you go through the vetting process, and you try to do a good job. And at the end of the day, you really do hope that you've hired the best people or nominated the best people to run these various agencies. This was a big problem in the first Trump term. We had a lot of bad actors. We had a lot of people who were not MAGA people working in the White House at the time, and it created big problems for the president and really for the advancement of his agenda. So all that to say, I was hoping that all of this was getting worked out as we moved into the second Trump term. But I'm afraid it hasn't. And the president is going to have to he's going to have to really roll up his sleeves, and he's going to have to dig into all of this, if he even has the interest in doing so. But I'm telling you right now, folks, that the Republicans have turned down a very dangerous road, and we're not going to have a lot of time between now and the midterm elections to course correct. So we're getting off course. We're getting off track. And that really is the point of today's show, is to get us back on track. Now, I will say this, that the Republicans, they do a great job on theatrics, really just an incredible job. And I'll give you some examples. So we've had some of the most incredible hearings over the past however many years now that the Republicans have been in charge of Congress. We've had some incredible hearings All sorts of heinous accusations have been levied. All sorts of damning evidence has been presented. And we have had so many lawmakers on this radio program talking about the shoes dropping, people are going to jail, all roads lead back to Barack Obama. I mean, how many times have we gone down that path? And I mean, every single time we give a platform to these Republicans and they lay out their evidence. But ladies and gentlemen, the reality is, up until just a few moments ago, no one's been arrested. No one's been charged. Nobody from the Obama administration's been arrested or charged. Nobody from the Biden administration's been arrested or charged. Nobody at all. We have spent millions and millions and millions of dollars. Our tax dollars, by the way, millions of dollars have been spent trying to get to the bottom of all of these scandals, all of these efforts, these attempts to crack down on those who tried to destroy Donald Trump and sabotage his campaign. And nothing has come of it. I want to give you an example of this. And again, there's just a lot to go over. And this means I am trying to protect Donald Trump here. That's what's going on, because there are people within his circle that do not have his interest at heart here. Now, and I'm going to get to the Epstein stuff in just a moment, but that's another part of it. And again, we haven't had any results from any of the hearings. Nothing's ever gotten accomplished. But what do they tell us? Well, you've got to give us the majority, and then we'll get to the bottom of it. So we give them the majority in the House. Well, we got to have the majority in the Senate. All right, we gave them that. Well, we got to have the White House. Well, okay, we've got all three. So what are we doing here? Let's talk about DOGE. Everybody talks about how successful DOGE was, right? Again, it is the theatrics. Last night, I went in and started doing a deep dive. What was it that Elon promised us? What, $2 trillion in cuts and spending cuts? Folks, we're not even at $200 billion in cuts, and really nothing has been cut. Nothing has been cut yet. So we have the theatrics of it all, and, well, this is what we've got to do, but it hasn't been done. Remember what they said. We're going to shut down the Department of Education. They haven't even started the process of shutting it down at all. Department of Education is still up and running. They said they were going to shut down the Hoover Building and move the FBI out of Washington, D.C. What do? Instead, they moved to a much larger, more opulent building, the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C., just right down the street. You can't make this up. Then there's this NBC News report that came out, and this is really what caused me to say, you know what, we just need to have a little reset here. We need to have a little conversation, and I'll explain what we need to do after this conversation. But the NBC News came out with a report, and they said that it turns out that Donald Trump, under his administration, more people have been arrested, more illegals have been arrested just in the month of June than the last 5 years combined. And that is a huge thing, right? We would want to celebrate that, right? But then the other shoe drops. It turns out that while, yes, the ICE agents are arresting record numbers of illegals, deportations are not happening. As a matter of fact, according to the NBC News numbers, deportations are at an all-time low. They're even lagging at this point behind the numbers that were deported during the Obama administration. So the question is, what happened to we are going to be deporting on day one millions and millions of illegals? And we're not anywhere near the millions, right? We're in the thousands. Last month they arrested 30,000, which is huge. But we're only deporting not even half of that number, which is not good. And then you've got the whole Epstein thing, which is weird because, again, and we'll play some audio, and I've got a lot of audio, and we're going to play some of this. So we've got the evidence to back up what I'm saying here. You've got all these people in the administration saying, hey, look, there is a list, and we've got to hold these people accountable. They're very powerful people on the list. And now all of us, and they go, we know that Epstein was killed to keep him quiet. And now they're saying, well, that wasn't true. Epstein, you know, he killed himself. And we also found out that there really is not even a list. And they want you to believe that. And I don't even think they believe that. And I think they even know that we don't believe what they're trying to tell us right now. That's what I truly think. And then comes this bombshell. This is insane. So they brought Biden's doctor, the White House physician, up on Capitol Hill yesterday. And I'm not surprised, but the physician said that he refused to testify. Now, James Comer, who's head of the House Oversight Committee, could force him. He could have forced the doctor, right? He can play that card. But here's the problem. He's not willing to do it at all. And that's concerning to me. I want you to hear James Comer talking to Jesse Waters last night. Cut number 16, please.
All right, so Congressman, you know, they're going to say doctor-patient relationship is sacred. They're going to say executive privilege. What do you say to that?
Well, there was nothing asked in the beginning that would pertain to doctor-patient relationship. This was a question, were you ever told to falsify medical documents for the President of the United States? And he pled the fifth. And then we asked the question, did you ever doubt his mental capacity to fulfill the duties of the presidency? And again, he pled the fifth. The only thing he answered was his name. The lawyers made clear he wasn't going to answer any questions. And he knew what we were going to ask him. All the questions you mentioned in the monologue, those were questions we prepared to ask. The witness, Dr. O'Connor, clearly wasn't going to answer any questions. You plead the fifth usually when you have criminal liability. Everyone in America knows that Joe Biden was deteriorating rapidly during that last year in the White House. And our investigation centers around the illegal use of the AutoPen that was used to sign executive orders and pardons. The AutoPen was used, we now know, on days when Joe Biden was in the White House. He couldn't even get him to sign his name. Hmm. So it begs the question, did he even know what his name was being signed on? And that's the purpose of the investigation. So the doctor's not going to be cooperative. We hope that the next 9 people that we have identified and dates set to bring in will be more forthcoming, like Neera Tanden was. We're going to bring in that inner circle. And one thing, Jesse, that's very clear thus far in this investigation, there were very, very few people in the White House who were allowed to be around Joe Biden.
So let me ask you what the next step is, Mr. Comer. Mm-hmm. Are you able to subpoena the medical reports, his notes? If he refuses to testify, I mean, can you bring him in again? I mean, what is the next step?
Well, the next step is we're going to bring in the inner circle. Again, this is an investigation.
Right, but with O'Connor specifically, because they drag this out. You know how they drag it out. I mean, yeah, is he just going to disappear?
Well, we're going to try to get every bit of information we have. What we're finding in the Biden administration is they didn't leave very many records behind when they walked out that door. There are so many instances of documents that we've been waiting.
This guy, Comer, we've had him on this show so many times before, and he never does deliver, this guy. And that's what you just heard him basically admit to Waters. Yeah, we're not going to do that. Comer has the ability to subpoena that doctor, and if the doctor refuses to comply, throw him in jail. And we know you can do that because the Democrats did that with Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro. They refused to testify before. They refused to testify. They refused to honor a subpoena, and they were thrown in jail for 4 months. And that's what the Republicans ought to do, but they're not doing it, ladies and gentlemen. They're not doing it. So my question is this: Are you satisfied with where we are so far, ladies and gentlemen? Are you concerned about where things are going with the Trump administration? There are things happening on multiple levels that just raise my concerns, because if we don't get this turned around quickly, you are going to disappoint the base, and the base is not going to be likely to come out and vote. They will not be energized in the midterm elections because we've given them nothing to energize them with. And hear me on this. One of the arguments that we heard, gosh, about 6 months ago, and I brought this up on the show, one of the arguments coming from the Republicans was, well, we're going to campaign on this idea that we need 2 more years to get all of this done. That's a load of hooey, ladies and gentlemen. They have the time if they just stop going on vacation and stay in Washington, D.C. and get the work done, then we would have something to celebrate. But at the end of the day, I am very concerned we show up at the midterms and we've got nothing to show for it except raising the debt ceiling and spending $4 trillion more dollars. Because, again, we haven't cut diddly squat right now. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. America was built on stories of courage, sacrifice, faith, and freedom. But somewhere along the way, we stopped telling those stories, and that's why I want to tell you about Angel Studios, a platform that's bringing those stories back, stories that honor our values, stories that remind us of who we are. They've released films like The Sound of Freedom, A Bold Stand Against Child Trafficking. They brought us the Tuttle Twins, teaching our kids what public schools will not, about liberty, personal responsibility, and the foundations of this great nation. With the King of Kings, they're showing the world that Jesus Christ is still the greatest story ever told. And new projects like The Last Rodeo and Green and Gold celebrate the heart of America, hard work, family, and legacy. But here's what makes Angel different. You get a voice. When you join the Angel Guild, you don't just watch the films. You help decide what gets made. You support the kind of stories that make this country strong. And you become a part of a movement to preserve the values we hold dear. This is how we take our culture back, by standing for truth one story at a time. No, I'm already getting messages from people. I knew it. I knew you were woke. No, I'm not woke. You're anti-Trump. You're a DeSantis guy. No, I'm a huge Trump supporter. I've voted for Donald Trump. I've interviewed him for books. He's endorsed my books. I know. Look, here's the thing. I'm one of these people that is willing to say, hey, Mr. President, we got a problem here. As opposed to all of these yes men, and I'm afraid there are a few too many yes men working in the White House right now. And they're afraid to tell the president what he really needs to hear. And I will say this about Donald J. Trump. I believe that more than anything else, this man believes in loyalty. And he respects and understands loyalty. Well, you know what loyalty is? Loyalty is telling someone that they're heading down a bad path. And they might want to take another look at things. But somebody out there is telling the president, and by the way, this is where this whole amnesty garbage came up. Somebody told the president, Mr. President, we really think you need to reconsider this because you need to appear to be more compassionate, Mr. President. And we don't want to be deporting all these people. So you need to show a little bit of compassion, and you also need to take care of all of your big dollar donors who use these illegals for cheap labor. They probably didn't put it quite like that, but that's exactly how it's going down. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Memphis, Tennessee, Johnny, listening to us on KWAM. All right, Johnny, what's on your mind?
Todd, you know, I've called you for years, and I never agree with you, but this time I agree with you on the topic of today. The Republicans, they need to quit focusing on Donald Trump and get some work done. And what have you done? Have you drank some truth serum today?
No, I've had a delicious cup of coffee this morning, Johnny. But look, Johnny, you should know this. I don't work off anybody's talking points. And by the way, we are getting people are saying, well, we need to stop talking about Epstein. We need to stop talking about how many illegals. No, I don't play that game.
Well, Todd, you know, I have to say, I have always called and disagreed with what you have said, you know, but if I can disagree with you, if I can call in and disagree with you, when you are on top and on topic, I can call and agree with you. But, you know, I think the main focus is on Donald Trump. And just like you said, there's a bunch of yes men around there. And if they can, you know, focus more on doing people's business instead of focusing on Donald Trump, I think they can get a lot more done. What do you say?
Well, Johnny, I'll answer that question, and we're going to break here, Johnny, so we're going to have to leave it there. But and I guess I appreciate the call. Thank you. It's rarely do Johnny and I agree. But again, I want our president to be incredibly successful, and I want him to go down in history as one of the greatest presidents of all time. And I think he will. We've just got to make sure that these yes men are removed from the White House. The president needs somebody that's going to be just honest with him. 901-260-5926, our number. We'll be right back, America. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life, and he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, they feel great, and that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. Dr. Christina Probst, you might remember her. She is the Houston pediatrician, got fired after posting an anti-human rant. You know, they're calling it an anti-MAGA rant. It was anti-humanity. She was, and we have the story up at toddstarns.com, but this Houston pediatrician, Dr. Probst, said that she was hoping that Trump supporters would get what they voted for as they drowned in the floodwaters. It was pretty awful. Here's exactly what she wrote. Kerr County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for. May all visitors, children, and non-MAGA voters and pets be safe and dry. So I guess if you have a little puppy wearing a MAGA scarf or kerchief, that she's okay with even the puppies. She's kind of like a female Dr. Fauci, killing the beagles. So anyway, she worked at a place called Bluefish Pediatrics there in the Houston area, and she was fired. I will say this about Bluefish Pediatrics. Man, they jumped all over this. I mean, as soon as they found out, boom, she was suspended. As soon as they verified that she wrote what she wrote, boom, she was fired. So anyway, Probst, it's bad. She is... I mean, it is bad. I think even the liberals deep down know that she went way over the line here. But this woman, she needs some help. Anyway, she's asking for you guys to forgive her. And I'm wondering, do you forgive this woman for what she said? She's begging you. She says she's deeply sorry. I want to read this to you because she can't. I mean, it's really bad. She tried to go online, and she was just crucified. And here's what she wrote. I understand my comment caused immense pain to those suffering indescribable grief, and for that I am truly sorry. Lady, you celebrated the deaths of the kids of Trump supporters. Are you insane? She said, she went on to write this. I take full responsibility for a social media comment I made before we knew that so many precious lives were lost to the terrible tragedy in Central Texas. The comment was mine and mine alone. Even in these divisive times, some things are and should remain sacred. Okay, well, let's just break this down for a second here. So is she suggesting that if maybe just adults had died, then it would have been okay? Her remarks would have been fine because we knew right away that a lot of people had died. And she talks about these divisive times. Yes, it's because of people like you, doctor. People like you, ma'am. She continues, human life is sacred. The well-being of children is sacred. Politics and party affiliation should never affect the judgment or actions of any medical provider and have never affected mine. Really? Because I don't know about that. I don't know about that. One of the things I do, and I know this is terrible, but it's true, I do this. When I'm looking for a new doctor, I check out their party affiliations. I'm a little concerned, honestly. You've got these left-wing doctors out there? I don't trust them. I do not trust them. And would you trust this one? Let me ask you a question. Parents, grandparents, would you trust this woman to take care of your child? Somebody sent me another, yeah, you know, my doctor's, he's a, like a radical. He's got the coexist bumper sticker on the car, drives one of the little metrosexual cars you got to plug in. And this person is like a huge MAGA person, but he said whenever he goes to the doctor, he wants to always, you know, name drop Obama or Kamala Harris just to make sure the shot doesn't hurt because you know they make it hurt. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, this doctor is saying that she has, and here's what gets me is, why would you feel the need to say that? Why would you feel the need to say that you've never mistreated your MAGA patients? Dr. Probst goes on, geez, Alou, man, this is a long apology. Perhaps my biggest regret is that my words are now serving as a distraction from our shared responsibility. What? Her words caused the distraction. To heal the pain and suffering of those whose lives have been forever changed by unspeakable loss and to take every step to ensure such a disaster never occurs again. Probst continues, geez, Alou, lady, the heart of every Texan breaks for each and every family shattered by this tragedy. She said she was praying those suffering find peace and comfort in the difficult days ahead. Who does she pray to? Could it be Satan? Just asking. Oh, Lord, she's still not finished. Give it a rest, lady. Moving forward, I will do my very best to listen, learn, grow, and serve my community as I have always done. If ever there was a need for a crisis management client, that's the lady right there. So I'm wondering, ladies and gentlemen, does it sound like that she has understood the error of her ways? Do you believe that she is experiencing true remorse? Do you, ladies and gentlemen, does this woman deserve to be forgiven for the disgusting, disgusting things that she said? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. And then you have a couple of black folks out there, one of them also from Houston. I don't know what's going on. The libs in Houston got triggered by all this. And they're out there saying that, you know, the only reason people are concerned is because a bunch of white people drowned. It's just terrible stuff. And then we've got a story, and we're going to have this up on our website here momentarily. Adam Zyglis, he is the staff cartoonist for the Buffalo News. He is also a heartless monster. So Zyglis published a cartoon in the news that mocks the drowning of a Trump supporter in the Texas Hill Country. I am not making this up. The image, and you'll be able to see it over at toddstearns.com, and it is just disgusting. And this was published in the cartoon, so it's not just the cartoonist, it's the editors who signed off on this. And it shows a man wearing a red MAGA hat being swept away by the floodwaters, holding a help sign. And just before the guy drowns, he's hollering out, government is the problem, not the solution. And the newspaper's defending this. They're saying, well, you know, the whole point of being a political cartoonist is to be outrageous and provocative. Well, mission accomplished there. Got half the country wanting to march on this newspaper office. The Erie County Republican Committee Chairman, Michael Cracker. Oh, dear. I wonder if he's white. That would be ironic. Michael Cracker said this. I have no idea why I find that humorous. The Buffalo News ran a cartoon mocking Texas families who lost loved ones in a tragedy just because they might have voted Republican. Twisted, vile, and shameful. They owe those families an apology and should pull this filth immediately. I hate to break it to Mr. Cracker, but hear me on this for just a moment. That doctor, she's really not sorry. That cartoonist, he's really not sorry. Those angry black women, they're really not sorry. They really believe what they said, or they wouldn't have said it. But they believe that because in their hearts they've been taught since before 2015 that anyone who supports Donald Trump is less than, that we are subhuman. And you say, Tom, what are you talking about? What is going on with you today? No, hear me on this. This is why when Barack Obama was out in San Francisco in 2007 and he was talking about all you people in the Rust Belt, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, what did he say about you people? He said that you cling to your guns and religion. You're bitter Americans. What was it Hillary said? That you're irredeemable. You are beyond redemption. You're a basket of deplorables. What is it Joe Biden said at the Human Rights Campaign event? That you people are the you people who believe in the values that President Trump shares, you are the dregs of humanity. That sort of language dehumanizes. And so, therefore, I don't buy any of these apologies at all. I think we get to see these people for who they truly are. And that's why, at this very hour, you have Democrats literally calling for blood in the streets, calling for people to go out there and to get shot or take one for the party as they're attacking ICE agents and Border Patrol agents. It's a very dark thing that's happening here, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why you literally have people on social media, and I'm not even going to play. I've seen the audio. We're not going to play the audio. But I have literally seen people celebrating the deaths and mocking the deaths of those children because they believe those children, their parents, are somehow Republicans or Trump supporters. That's the kind of evil. And ladies and gentlemen, I will say this. I have never seen that sort of hate in the Republican world. You may have some isolated things. Those people are anomalies because conservatives, we cherish life. We value life. And if you call yourself a conservative and you're saying something like that, you're not a conservative, you're a Democrat. And you're a creep and you've got problems. So I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not willing to forgive this woman because I don't believe her. I don't believe this cartoonist. I don't think he's sorry for what he did. I don't think any of them are sorry. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, folks, we've been talking a lot about what's happening overseas. Yesterday, another barrage of missiles hitting Israel. So this global unrest is starting to pick up a little bit. And that's why you need to be very concerned about what's happening on Wall Street. Things look good now, but you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, which is why you need to consider diversifying your retirement plan and your savings plan. And this is one of the reasons I turn to Vault U.S. Gold. They are the premier experts in protecting retirement savings with gold and silver IRAs. They have a top-rated team, and they make doing all of this so fast and so easy. And more importantly, it gives you a shield against economic chaos. Vault U.S. Gold, give them a call, 833-511-4653. That's 833-511-4653. Visit vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. That's vaultusgold.com/Todd Stearns. And when you do, they're going to hook you up with a free gold guide. All right, folks. And don't forget, head over to toddstearns.com. You'll be able to see the cartoon I'm talking about. take a look at it, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on what you saw and your reaction. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Lexington, Tennessee. Rodney is on the line. Hi, Rodney. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. I just want to say I enjoy your show. I'm on my lunch break, so I won't be able to stay long. But I want to comment on the illegal immigrants going to get to stay in the country. First of all, we as conservatives should stop using the term cheap labor. It's not cheap labor. It's illegal labor. And that's what we should call it. It's illegal labor. It's no different than if you hire someone that was evading arrest or evading a warrant. They're illegal. You're evading and abetting. And number two, during the Obama administration, President Obama bailed out GM. And at the time, the Republicans had hissy fits because they said it was not up to a United States president or the government to bail out a business. A business should not be too big to fail. So therefore, the farmers, the hotel industry, or whatever can't afford to pay a decent wage and get workers, they should either downsize or go out of business.
You know, that's the way it would happen for anybody else, Rodney, right?
Exactly.
I remember that, and again, this whole, you know, too big to fail, and George W. just bought into that hook, line, and sinker, didn't he?
Yes, yes. Well, I thought it was Obama. I thought Obama's one that failed them out.
Obama did, but also George W. did back when the housing market went belly up, and you had all the Wall Street companies going belly up, and that happened right towards the election. If you remember, it was John McCain, and I may be talking slightly out the wazoo here, Rodney, but John McCain actually suspended his campaign for the presidency so they could all go to Washington and resolve the financial crisis.
Right. I believe you're right. But that's my view. That's my personal view. If you're going to say that one business should have special agreements to keep in business, then all businesses should get it, not pick and choose. But I appreciate your time, and I enjoy your show.
Well, Ronnie, I appreciate it. What are you doing for lunch, my friend? I hope you're getting a good meal somewhere.
Yes, sir. I'm eating a poor man's steak.
A poor man? What is a poor man's steak?
A bologna sandwich.
Hey, now that is some good eating, Rodney. You got to get that thick slab bologna, though.
Oh yeah, and now I've got a garden tomato. I got a slice of good garden tomato.
Man, you're eating like a king today, Rodney. That's good eating right there, my friend.
I'm not going to get a whole lot out of me after this.
No, I don't. I can imagine, Rodney. God bless, and enjoy your lunch hour. It is true. If you're going to get a good, if you're going to eat a bologna sandwich, you got to get the big, thick slab, and you can't be going down to Kroger and getting the Oscar Mayer. You got to go down to a local gas station where they have the deli, and that's how you do it. And you got to make sure you get, oh boy, we're not going to start the mayo war again, but you got to get your favorite mayo. Mine happens to be Hellman's. But you folks in the Carolinas, I know you're Duke people, and got to get a good slather of that on white bread only, Sunbeam preferably. And like Rodney said, it is tomato eating season, so you got to get yourself a good old juicy Mississippi red tomato. Dylan, that's good eating where we're from. What are you shaking your head for?
I just can't get behind bologna for some reason.
How do you not get behind? First of all, your family. How do you? Our family is genetic. It's built in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm the picky eater of the family, as you know. But bologna gives me the same feeling as spam does. But I know that's probably really offensive.
What's wrong with spam?
I don't know. I don't understand why it's in a circular block.
Well, that's the way God made it,
I guess.
Or somebody down at the meatpacking company. I don't know. I prefer not to know. I prefer not to know how it's made. What about fajita sausages?
Same thing. It's the same exact feeling. I don't want to eat it.
My dad may have been the only person in America who did this. My dad loved fajita sausages and saltine crackers. Mm. That was his jam.
Scrumptious.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about that. I can't handle the fajita sausages.
I'll have a PB&J.
Oh, there you go. Nothing wrong with PB&J. All that to say, I hope, Rodney, hope you're having a good lunch. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. So stick around, folks. Hour two of the big show. Yeah, you got to get the thick slab bologna that's got the red plastic. Then you can pull that off. And you don't want to chew on that. But, man, that's good eating. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. A lot going on. Hey, by the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, you can watch my show on Newsmax TV. We've got a jam-packed lineup, including live reports from out in Texas, and also the very latest on what's happening in Washington, D.C. I want to play, before we go to our very important and great guest, I want to play some audio. This is coming from Alan Dershowitz, talking about the Epstein list, which we've been now told not only does it not exist, it never existed, and how dare you even talk about it. You have absolutely no right to talk about it anymore. Those talking points coming directly from the White House. Here's Alan Dershowitz.
This is not an opinion. This is a fact. I have seen, remember, I was accused falsely and they have seen, and ultimately I was completely cleared. The woman admitted that she may have mistook me for somebody else and withdrew all of her lawsuits. And so from day one, from the day I was accused, I said, I want every document out, because I knew every document would prove I was innocent. So let me tell you, I know for a fact documents are being suppressed, and they're being suppressed to protect individuals. I know the names of the individuals. I know why they're being suppressed. I know who's suppressing them, but I'm bound by confidentiality from a judge and cases, and I can't disclose what I know. But I, hand to God, I know the names of people whose files are being suppressed in order to protect them. And that's wrong.
Just out of curiosity, without names, are these politicians, business leaders, both?
They're everything. And let me tell you, a lot of them are, at least one of them is somebody who was accused. Others are accusers. And the judges have said, if somebody calls themselves a victim, we're not going to give any information about them. But they may not be victims. They may be perpetrators. So we don't have information about false accusers. And we know there have been many false accusers who have accused innocent people for money. And those records are being deliberately, willfully suppressed. And they shouldn't be suppressed.
All right.
If the accusation.
So we'll get to more of Dershowitz in just a moment. But I want to bring in our next guest. His name is Steve Baker. You've read his stuff over on The Blaze, investigative journalist, great guy. Steve, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, thanks for having me.
So, look, I know you've been pretty outspoken about this on your social media platforms. You just heard Alan Dershowitz. Is he off his rocker here, or is Dershowitz onto something?
No, he's not off his rocker, and we all know that. Look, anybody who has followed this for the years that this has been in development knows that you can't have, as Attorney General Bondi has spoken, you can't have hundreds of victims and then there not also be clients, so to speak, on the other side. Look, Epstein, his relationship in the criminal world as a pimp, a glorified pimp, obviously, maybe the biggest pimp in history. It goes all the way back to, you know, the accusations he had back in the 2000s, early 2000s, for child prostitution. And obviously, if there's child prostitution going on at that time and he is being indicted for that and then ultimately given a plea deal on that and ultimately having the federal charges dropped. And I've got the document myself where the FBI said, look, as long as Epstein provides us with the information that we need, we've been advised that we will no longer seek prosecution in this matter. This was 2008. I have the document myself. It's a Federal Bureau of Investigation document. And so there's an absolute impossibility for there not to be a list of God knows how many of these clients, those who engaged in business with Epstein in his sex trade.
Steve, I'm just confused by the Justice Department here and the Attorney General. And I think even in her response at the cabinet meeting, and you could tell there was a tremor in her voice. And I don't know, I'm trying to understand how she can reverse course so quickly, just like Kash Patel did and Dan Bongino when it looked like they were being held hostage, you know, in the video when they said, Epstein killed himself. That's it. End of story.
And there's tons more video than this one that we've seen ad nauseum for the last 3 days of Bondi talking about having the files on her desk. And then, of course, then the retractions here in the last couple of days. And we see that video of her telling the world that she had them. But there's more videos of her saying the same thing. This isn't a lone standout video that they can just easily whitewash, wave off, and say, well, she would, it wasn't really talking about specific client files. It was the overall Epstein stack of files on her desk. Look, she herself has said that there are tens of thousands of hours of video related to Epstein's operation. And then now they're trying to say, yeah, but that's all him. So you're telling me there's tens of thousands of files or video, tens of thousands of hours of video of Epstein diddling little girls, and there was nobody else involved, when we know that he had cameras around his properties, the Epstein Island and other properties in Florida? It just absolutely stretches all manner of credulity here for us to accept that, and especially as you brought up the long history, long before they became director and deputy director, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, their own statements. And then we have, you know, look, I work for the Blaze. I was in the building today. Everybody has seen this, where Glenn had Kash Patel in his office. This was almost exactly about a year and a half ago. I was in the Blaze building in Dallas at the time when Kash was sitting there in Glenn's big glass office. They brought the cameras in, and Kash was absolutely adamant that the FBI director at the time had the files on this and that he had, quote unquote, the black book on this. Absolutely adamant about that. As a matter of fact, when they left his office, I happened to be walking down the hallway, and Glenn brought me over and introduced me to Kash. At that time, we exchanged numbers. And I'm not going to be hesitant to tell you that I have used that phone number as a result of this case and a couple of other things that we've been working on recently at the Blaze.
There have been some people getting calls from the White House saying, you got to stop talking about this. Have you gotten any sort of correspondence? Have you been told to move on?
You know, I tweeted out. Actually, I responded to somebody else's thread. It was one of the actual FBI whistleblowers' thread, in which I hypothetically talked about being contacted by somebody at the FBI on this. And the reality is that I'm not the only one. But yes, it has happened. It is happening. There is a damage control operation taking place right now inside the DOJ and the FBI. They were absolutely, and who knows why, they were blindsided by this. I don't know who thought in their PR team thought that they could release this Axios report on a Sunday, except only they had calculated, because of the disaster in Texas with the tremendous loss of life, that would overwhelm the news cycle, as it, you know, these types of disasters typically do, in that everybody would sweep this thing under the rug and ignore it. Well, you and I both know that's exactly the opposite of what happened.
And the other thing, Steve, and let me jump in here real quick, and the thing that I'm concerned about now with the onset of AI and all this other stuff that's going on the social media platforms was verifying it, because it was unsigned. There was no letter. It was very strange the way that was leaked to Axios.
Yes. Very strange. And I can tell you absolutely with 100% confirmation, it is real, even though it was unsigned. This was a joint release by the DOJ and the FBI. I can also tell you that sources at the FBI have tried to diminish that and say, no, it's not us. It's not us. It's not Kash. It's not Dan. And that's not true. It's just not true. We know that this was a joint release, and we know that they are doing damage control, and they are making those calls. And I'm not the only one who has received such a call.
You and I have been doing this for a long time, and one of the things that really set me off, and I knew this was coming, and sure enough, they announced the big investigation into Brennan and Comey. First of all, I don't remember the FBI. I mean, typically when the FBI does an investigation, they do the investigation. You don't know about it until the indictments are handed down or right. The investigation's been concluded. So it seems to me they dumped this to get everybody's attention off of the Epstein file.
Yeah, they're looking for any distraction that they can get right now from that, because this was a major error on their part. They know it now. And I will tell you, I told an FBI source just two nights ago, I said, look, you guys blew it. You guys blew it. In fact, I said this may be the most or the worst PR move I have ever seen from any federal agency or department in my career. I've never seen anything. And I, you know, jokingly, I said, you guys need to bring me on for PR next time, because there's no way you could not have made this this miscalculation, because this was such a central piece of not only what was promised to the Republican voter base, MAGA, conservatives, however you want to characterize them, but this was absolutely impossible for you to miscalculate if you had done a couple of things right. Number one, not go to frickin' Axios, but go to The Blaze, go to Daily Wire, go to Fox, go to Newsmax, go and find out from your own friendly media sources, how are your readers and how are your viewership going to handle this when we release this story? They obviously didn't do that, and they're paying the price for it right now. And this Brennan Comey investigation, and that's just not the way these things work. As has been pointed out by many others besides myself, is that investigations are private. Indictments are announced. But in this case, they flipped the script, and they're announcing the investigation.
Steve Baker is joining us, investigative journalist from The Blaze. And Steve, here's why it's really bothering me, because these are all good people. I mean, you know, Pam and Dan and Cash, I mean, we had them on my show in the past. What is going on?
Oh, man. Look, we are just as confounded as anybody else in this space. We absolutely cheered the nominations of Cash Patel and Dan Bongino. We rallied behind them during their confirmation process. Upon being confirmed, we gave them a standing ovation and our best wishes. And then they went into just trust the plan mode. And we don't seem to be getting anything out of them that was promised to us in the days, months leading up to the election, after the election, and in the early days of the new administration. And we're talking about the most important things. And one of those things which they're most concerned about, and another thing that they're taking a huge hit on, is the fact that they have not restored the legitimate whistleblowers. And that is a gigantic black eye for the FBI right now. We're talking about some Boy Scouts out there who did the right thing under horrible circumstances. They kept their oath. They went through the process of whistleblowing correctly, properly, in every way. And yet these guys have been, like, for instance, Garrett O'Boyle has been on suspension now for over 1,000 days, unpaid suspension. And when you're on unpaid suspension, he can't take another job.
It's unacceptable.
It's totally unacceptable. And they've had 6 months. And what I told FBI source just two nights ago on the phone was, I said, if you want to do any damage control right now whatsoever, the lowest hanging fruit that you have right there in front of you is to restore these FBI whistleblowers with full back pay and give them a premier job actually investigating these types of issues.
Mm. All right, Steve, we're going to have to leave it there. I've got about 30 seconds, and I get this question a lot. Why does it matter? You know, President Trump said, why are we still talking about Epstein? Enough. But why is it important that we know who is on that list?
Well, look, it's important that we know who is on this list. And if I'm giving the president and his administration any grace whatsoever, it's based on this theory. I think that the list is so vast, it's so deep, And it's such a high profile list of people in the government, both left and right, as well as world leaders, tech leaders, business leaders, that this would be essentially a mutually assured destruction issue if that list was released. And it may just be a calculation from the administration that we can't do this. It will literally bring the government down. And, you know, that's a big statement to make, but that's just the way it feels to me, is that, and that's me giving the administration grace here. What's the calculation of not going forward with what we all know exists?
Yeah, it's, and by the way, another big looming story is that NBC piece that came out today, that while we've had record-breaking arrest of illegals, we aren't even deporting these people. They're still here. And our number, you know, Trump's numbers are lower than Obama's. I mean, we have got to start delivering. We can't just rely on the theatrics of all this.
So it seems the Supreme Court is now giving the administration the latitude against the lawfare coming from the lower courts to give them the right to go ahead and move forward with these deportations. So hopefully they will do that.
All right. Steve, man, great, great reporting, and we love your work, and we'd like to get you back on soon. But hang in there. I think you're fighting the good fight out there.
Thank you, Todd. I really appreciate that.
All right. That's Steve Baker, everybody, an investigative journalist over at The Blaze, giving us a rundown of what has been going on with the Epstein case. We've got to take a quick break. We're going right to our phone lines. We've got Steve in Houston, Jerry in Iowa, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back. Let's go right to the phones, and we will start in Iowa. Jerry, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Jerry, what's on your mind?
Hello, brother. Thanks for the opportunity to execute free speech. This is so wonderful. So I still trust the Donald. I do. I trust him. I trust Pam, Bondi, Stellar Integrity, Cash, Patel, Dan. They're all great. They've been doing us good. Epstein, he was probably on it. Don't you think he was probably an FBI, CIA asset? I mean, he was probably, I'll bet you they used him to get the goods and all kinds of bad actors all over the world and in the country, and also try to be patient. This is really not the Jerry. I'm not saying your show, but the Epstein thing isn't the Jerry Springer show. It's Biden probably set booby traps all over the place before he got on the stupid Mueller investigation that went on for years and years. So I'm just saying, keep trusting the Donald. It takes time to build cases. And timing is everything. There's other fish to fry right now. I mean, I'm just thinking we should wait till after the midterms. This is not over, not by a long shot. The good guys are in the saddle right now. There's lots of stuff going on in the world. I don't think this is going away. So it takes time to build a good case.
Well, Jerry, let me jump in. That music means we're going to have to take a break here, and I'll finish addressing it at the end of the break here or when we come back. But at the end of the day, Trump says, time to move on. There's nothing to see here. So it is over when it comes to the mind of the president. Jerry, appreciate that call. Hang tight, folks. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I'm sorry, I'm slightly distracted by an email I just got, and it involves Fox News Channel. Folks, I need to see if I can talk about what the email, I apologize, I shouldn't have even brought it up. But anyway, Fox is just, what you see is not necessarily what you get when it comes to Fox. I'll just leave it at that. And I will say this, shame on them. Shame on them. I apologize, I shouldn't have even brought it up. But anyway, I got the email just as we were coming back on the show. Luke Symbol is here, our great local Republican strategist in Memphis, Tennessee, just back from vacation.
Oh, it was lovely, Todd.
Was it really nice?
Oh, 75 degrees, high 50s in the evening, sweater weather. I got a little break from the Memphis heat and humidity, but it's good to be back with you in studio.
Any gunfire where you were at?
No gunfire. It was lovely.
No drive-bys?
No drive-bys. I wasn't checking over my shoulder while pumping gas. It was great.
When you came out of the Olive Garden, the car was still there?
You can't even attend an Olive Garden in Memphis now. I mean, you got to get a certain type of restaurant to be safe.
It's really bad out there. Well, I'm glad you had a good vacation. You know, we've been following this crazy story out of Texas with the horrible floods, and it's just beyond me the vitriol coming out of the left. But again, I think really they've been conditioned to hate Republicans, and the fact you've got this pediatrician in Houston that's, you know, mocking the deaths of children. You've got this, and speaking of New York, the cartoonist at the Buffalo News did a big cartoon mocking MAGA people who are drowning in the Guadalupe River.
They're just disgusting. Their religion is hateful on the left. They will hate us no matter what. You could cure cancer and somehow it would be bad to the liberals. So, you know, we just got to keep on doing what we're doing. And I saw something about seeding clouds in Texas. Apparently, I didn't even know you could do this. Apparently, you can make rain clouds rain more depending on how airplanes shoot chemicals into the clouds. Did you know? I had no idea about that.
So this is sort of like a thing, and people are going, they're going a little nutso on it. I'm not dismissing it at all, but the Texas Agriculture Commissioner is. He says, yes, they are cloud seeding, but it doesn't have anything to do with the massive flooding that happened. Right.
Apparently, it just increases the rain a little bit. It's just interesting to me how when you scroll on social media, when you're scrolling on X, these people have all these theories, and I guess at least we can talk about it. But yeah, it's very unfortunate what happened, and the outpouring of love, though, and support and prayers for these families just experiencing this terrible, terrible tragedy was encouraging. And I think, you know, there are some people on the fringes, some crazy leftists and maybe some crazy conspiratorial folks. But other than that, the American people are good hearted. And it was great to see that outpouring of support.
So before we get to another Texas story, I can't wait to hear your reaction to this because we have a little bit of breaking news, but I'll get to that in a moment. This really is a thing, weather modification. It's not because everybody's mocking MTG, you know, with the whole space lasers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it really is a thing, and it's been codified into law. This goes all the way back to the year of my birth, 1967, that the Texas Weather Modification Act was first introduced. And they actually do go in and they can seed these clouds. And they're saying that, you know, the whatever they use, whatever chemicals they use, they're not harmful to people, and they evaporate, you know, once they hit the ground or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a weather guy and I'm not a scientist. But they're saying that they can make it rain when it's not going to rain. And they're saying that did not contribute to, you know, to what happened. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but somebody probably might want to look into that, especially with what happened in Atlanta, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C. over the past couple of days.
Well, and you know, at least people are talking about it. So many people had no idea that it was even a possibility, like me. I had no idea. And now I'm wondering, hey, wait a minute. Do we need to look further into this? Should there be some investigations into, is it appropriate to modify the weather? You know, I always thought that the weather was controlled by God. Can we as man really have an impact on it? Is it appropriate for man to try to have an impact? I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to outsmart God here, God forbid.
And I'm not sure I want to cause a deluge in something called Flash Flood Alley.
Right, exactly.
I'm just saying, there may be a very legitimate reason, but, right. You know, it's a fair question to ask, but again, this was some sort of a weather system that actually stalled out. And they're saying that you can only seed, only so much water can fall as a result of cloud seeding. So there's no way that it could cause some sort of a flash flood like this. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We've seen what the government's approved through the FDA over the past decades, and we're poisoning our bodies with our food. So I don't know if I trust the government when it comes to cloud seeding.
Speaking of that, I saw a video. I don't know why I'm on these weird algorithms on Instagram. So I was on elephant births. That was the most recent one, which is kind of disgusting and somewhat fascinating.
How do you get on that algorithm? I'm not going to search for that.
I don't know. But anyway, now I'm on cheese. And so the latest video I saw, somebody took like real like cheese from Italy or wherever, and then they melted it in the same container as American cheese, right? That's got all this stuff in it. And so the real cheese from Italy, it just melted like cheese would melt. But the American cheese was like all gloopy and globby.
I think American cheese is like some sort of plastic that's edible. I don't know that it's actually cheese.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they're shoving into our bodies.
Oh, it's terrible.
But it can't be good. It cannot be good. All right, we have some breaking news to share.
Oh.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Thank you, Dylan. Yeah, we pay for the breaking news alert. We've got to use it. We haven't used it in a while. So this coming in from Texas, Jasmine Crockett. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. Shuck, yeah. Shucking and jiving. Oh, good God. Shucking and jiving is all I get. So Jasmine Crockett, Luke Simple. Is you're a white guy, so you looked a little shocked here.
I am. I'm very white. I'm whiter than white.
Jasmine Crockett is thinking about throwing her name into the ring for the U.S. Senate race.
Wonderful.
In Texas.
That would be great for Republicans, I think. What do you think?
I think this is a brilliant thing. I'm encouraging her to do this.
Yeah.
I'll throw a few bucks in.
Yeah, Jazzy Croquet, a graduate from Rhodes, right here in Memphis. That would be very interesting. I think we'd get some good fodder out of that to make fun of the left.
I think it's brilliant because, Luke, we are watching a Democrat Party in the throes of chaos. They don't know who they are right now.
They are imploding. Their identity politics-driven party is fighting amongst themselves. Nobody likes it. Swing state voters completely rejected it last election. And, you know, I'm sitting back, I'm eating the popcorn, I'm enjoying it. Republicans, stay on your toes, keep fighting for the issues that Americans actually care about. And I'm hopeful in the midterms we'll be victorious.
I'm with you on that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And Mamdani, I think he's going to be the next mayor of New York City. And they deserve – everybody's calling on what's-his-face Sliwa, the Republican, Curtis Sliwa, to drop out. That guy, he's a Trump hater, by the way, and he just got trounced in the last election. The guy doesn't have a chance. They're calling for him to pull out of the race, you know, to everybody can get behind Eric Adams. No, I'd say stay in the race. They get what they deserve.
When I was looking at some polling yesterday on this, and I had no idea that Eric Adams was as hated as he's hated. And in fact – Cuomo, who's a complete disaster, who people in New York really dislike because of how he handled COVID, among other issues. I mean, putting COVID patients in the nursing homes, leading to mass deaths in these nursing homes, which is just terrible. He's somehow polling higher than Eric Adams. It's really unbelievable. And I think that this radical socialist is going to get elected, and we're going to have more fodder when New York City blows up, which is very, very sad. But when everybody leaves and the tax base leaves and it's just crippled under these socialist policies, Republicans are going to be able to point the finger and say, don't vote Democrat, folks.
You know, Eric Adams was an NYPD guy, but he hates the NYPD, and he does not like white people. I know Mamdani doesn't either. He wants to tax all the white people more than minorities. But it was Eric Adams who said at a gathering, and there's audio of this, that he doesn't like crackers, and it's not Ritz, it's not Keebler, it's not the elves, it's like honkies, white people of the Caucasian persuasion. He doesn't like us.
They are just awful. Isn't it just terrible? I am so glad that I don't live with this awful racist mindset where you see color first and everything, every single issue, you must determine the skin color of the people involved first. It's just a sickening, poisonous worldview. And, you know, I guess he just deserves to lose too. It's unfortunate. I love New York City. I grew up in New York State. It's the greatest city in America. And unfortunately, I think it's going to go through some really hard times because of their electorate. Mm.
Well, some local news. I'm fascinated by two stories. The first, the Memphis Police Department is going to demonstrate unity, inclusion, and their athleticism. They're going to be sharing balls with the LGBT community. Balls galore! Balls galore! It's the second annual Kicking with Pride LGBTQ+ versus MPD kickball game.
Isn't this kind of this is violence against LGBTQ, kicking LGBTQ balls? Yeah. I mean, that's what the flyer says.
Yeah, it would be. You don't.
It's not good.
No, it's not good. I had no idea they were kicking balls with the pansexuals, but, you know, it is. Whatever.
Meanwhile, we have murders left and right, the highest rate of juvenile murders, I think, this year so far. We're setting records here, and yet they want to go kick some balls with the LGBTQ plus IA, whatever.
All right, let's go kick me, boys. Let's go. What's up with your local newspaper, the Daily Memphian? They have published, you know, they went after your baseball team, the Redbirds,
yeah,
because they were having the big, beautiful buffet.
Yeah.
And now they're going after America. They published a story about the Central Gardens 4th of July parade, and they said that the headline, Central Gardens parade goers celebrate holiday with mixed feelings. And they were interviewing, literally, everybody they interviewed hated America and they hated President Trump. And I don't understand. You couldn't find just one person who was proud to be an American?
They hire these young activist journalists who probably make $20,000 a year and think it's their, again, it's their the leftist religious worldview. Their job is to just hate on conservatives all the time. And so these newspapers find three people who live miserable lives, who are just awful, terrible people who hate the country, who hate their fellow Americans, and say, oh, there is widespread denouncing of America on 4th of July. It's just disgusting. Nobody reads these local papers anymore. You know, the Daily Memphian, their viewer, their subscriber rate is way, way down. I mean, you publish an op-ed in the Daily Memphian and nobody sees it. They're irrelevant. It's unfortunate. And there's a reason why more and more people are flocking to radio and flocking to podcasts and YouTube, because they just can't trust their local media anymore.
Yeah, it's really sad. All right, Luke Symbol, good to have you back in the city.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right, folks, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, going right to your phone calls. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines. Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Well, what's on my mind is that even a long time ago, there's certain things that happen in Washington and around the world that and people make promises, and there's things and you say to yourself, if you feel that you're a fairly seasoned person on what happens in the world, that they just made a promise that's not going to happen. And that, you know, Laura Ingraham is a wonderful lady. I like her a lot. My wife and I both do. And one time in 2017, she said in November, I'm going to get to the bottom of the taxpayers' slush fund in the Senate and in Congress, and you'll be hearing from me. I'm going to report the names, because it's taxpayer money, on all these non-disclosure agreements that were paid for sexual harassment. Well, I said, when she said that, I told my wife, I said, that's never going to happen. And my wife thought I was pretty cynical. And I said, she can't make that promise, because the people that have been paid and the people, the accusers, the names that are involved, that's never going to happen. And it never did. And I felt, when Pam Bondi, and she is a patriot and she's a wonderful person probably, and Dan Bongino and Cash, and obviously Donald Trump, our president. But when they say these things, I said, my God, you have Ghislaine Maxwell in prison. Probably the only reason why that she's in prison and nothing's happened to her is she knows the names, and maybe some lawyers got it in the safe of different people. And when they said that they were going to produce those, I said, you know, I'm skeptical on how that report's going to come out of there. I hope it's highly redacted to cover their tail. Because,
Here's the thing, Gary. If this is true, I mean, look, if it turns out there really is not a list, then I think Cash Patel and Dan Bongino should apologize, because they literally built their careers, their livelihoods on, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing that, you know, this was a great scandal, and it turned out not to be. So I think at the very least, they owe the American people an apology.
I'm more upset about the crooks, the Butler shooter, and the anniversary coming up. There is no way that that's a closed case. There cannot be, you know, the parents were the most lightly investigated parents of an assassin of a president I've ever seen. We have people in the state of Florida where I live where the parents, there's a shooter, and the parents, they knew he had a gun and this and that. They go through those parents. They go through their social media. They look at the parents. They look at what they, the different posts and the stuff that nothing's come out. That's horrendous what's not come out about that shooter.
No, and nothing will because, again, case closed, moving on. How dare you ask questions? Wait, what?
Very upset about that.
Yeah. No, it's, and I think you're right to be. All right, Gary, appreciate the call there. And look, I hear you. I think a lot of people share the same sentiment, disappointed, but not terribly surprised. Real quick, let's go to Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Hey, Patty, what say you?
Hey, Todd. Listen, I was kind of mad at you in the beginning, and I'm sorry. I apologize because I love you. And I'm going to say something. When I went to the polls in November, I voted for my bills, food, gas, illegal. Jeffrey Epstein was not even on my mind. So I went for the latter. I went for, okay, if I can support, you know, my daughter with bills and help my kids out and everything. And he's coming through on that. Everybody's hooked on this Jeffrey Epstein thing. I'm going to tell you something. It's bigger than you think. There's a lot of people involved.
Well, I think there, and I hear your point, Patty, and look, I there are a lot of issues. Is Jeffrey Epstein, was he on my mind when I went to go vote? No, not at all. But the broader issue is not about Epstein. It's whether or not we have very dangerous people that are working in the highest levels of our government, and that's the issue. And you heard Steve Baker say, well, it could be that this thing is so big, it could literally bring down the entire government. And if that's the case, I say bring down the entire government and let the chips fall where they may. Patty, gotta run. Great hearing from you, my friend. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Have you heard about Diabetes Barbie? This is fascinating. NBC News. NBC News now reporting that Mattel is launching a brand new Barbie. No, this is for type 1 diabetes, Dylan. Type 2 diabetes is called Big Bone Barbie. But this is type 1 diabetes. Mattel, the company, says the new edition expands its representation and encourages play extending beyond a child's own lived experience. So they're giving Diabetes Barbie is going to come with a glucose monitor. Also, the toy is outfitted with a wearable insulin patch. Insulin pump, rather, and that is for Barbie, so it's not actually you know, for the child, or the child will have to have, or the adult, if you're an adult into Barbie dolls, you will need to have that as well. Mattel announcing the newest member of its Barbie Fashionistas line, saying that it not only lets children see themselves in the doll, but encourages play that extends beyond a child's own lived experience. The doll has a continuous glucose monitor attached to her arm and an insulin pump attached to her waist. Kristen Berger is the senior vice president for Barbie and the global head of dolls, saying in a press release that Diabetes Barbie marks an important step in our commitment to inclusivity. Barbie helps shape children's early perceptions of the world, and by reflecting medical conditions like type 1 diabetes, we ensure more kids can see themselves in the stories they imagine and the dolls they love. Is that it, though? I mean, if you're a child, I remember back when I was a kid, we had the G.I. Joes. Now, we don't have the, I don't want to call them gay, we don't have the little tiny, you know, the G.I. Joes nowadays, they're not like, they're teeny tiny, right? They're like little stick figures. Back when we were growing up, and if you grew up in the 70s, you know what I'm talking about here. Our G.I. Joes were like almost lifelike. They were life-size G.I. Joes. They were real American heroes. And then they had the little Barbies. But again, this was before the age of inclusivity. All that to say, I don't remember, as a child, I had to have glasses. I don't remember me wishing that my G.I. Joe came with a pair of glasses. I don't know, maybe some people feel that way. I don't have a problem with this, Dylan. I'm just reading the news. This is something new and adventurous. But is Barbie going to have to create a doll based on every sort of medical issue out there? That's all I'm asking. Now, Dylan wanted to know if, again, for inclusivity, Dylan wanted to know if there was a transgender Barbie. Yes, his name is Ken. That's Ken in the Barbie world.
Guess he says, stop being mean to Ken. He's a fan. They don't have the Ken doll diversity, the inclusive Ken dolls, do they?
Does Ken have diabetes?
All I hear about is the Barbie dolls.
I don't know.
Ken's there, too.
What about Ken? Do they have a black Ken? Hispanic Ken?
I don't know.
Polynesian Ken? I mean, where do you draw the line? Look, if there's a market for it, I say have at it. But it just seems to me that aren't you taking advantage of a child or somebody's illness? More than 18,000 young people under the age of 20 have been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Cassie's giving me a hard time now because it's diabetes. It's diabetes, not diabetes. Well, that's how we say it in the South. Cassie was giving me a hard time yesterday because we had brand new windows installed, and she said they're not windows, they're windows.
Yeah. She needs to get with the lingo here. She's not from here, you know.
She's from north of the Mason-Dixon line.
I could let her defend herself, but I'm not going to.
Good for you. After that movie list she gave us this week, I don't know why. As she was giving me the movie list, I had visions of pink and polka dots and little flowers.
Yeah. And it encapsulates Cassie as a person, if you know her.
Little unicorns.
Yeah.
Pooting rainbows out the wazoo.
Good visual.
Anywho's. So let me ask you this. Would it be okay? This is a terrible question I'm about to ask, but would it be okay for a non-diabetes person? Say you don't have diabetes. Would you at that point be allowed to purchase diabetes Barbie? Is that inappropriate? I know I'm not going to ask if it was lesser than. No, I mean, you have normal Barbie and then you have diabetes Barbie. Do you have, like, I don't know, I have a mechanical, it's a great example. I have a mechanical heart, right? My heart is, it's mechanical. Do I need that? Back to my G.I. Joes, am I disappointed that, you know, my G.I. Joes did not have some sort of a heart defect? I'm just asking. It doesn't bother me at all. Why are we talking about this? I'm just going to get hate mail from some sort of a diabetes organization. You just hate children, you child hater. No, I don't hate children. I'm just asking. We ask questions on the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But it would be like, I mean, do you have an obesity Barbie? And I am, in all seriousness, I mean, what would that look like? And then what happens when people go back to liking regular sized folk? I mean, would you have weight loss Barbie? Would you have a Barbie that, like, comes with, like, I don't know, some sort of a fat pouch that you can, you know, through exercise and whatnot, it gets skinnier? I don't know what that looks like. Remember, there was a time, I just remember doing a story on this. Wasn't there like a baby doll that actually peed, like urinated? And I'm like, what is the point of that? You know, because they said at the time that the children loved the, you know, they loved the authenticness of it all. And I'm not sure I'm going to be that authentic. You know, do you really want your toys to pee on you? I would think not, but maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm in the minority here. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. This is from, believe it or not, Memphis, Tennessee. And it's a story about an illegal alien who was arrested. I think the guy had been living in America for 20, 30 years. And this is important for you to understand, all right? So the guy was living here, working here, and he got arrested. There was a big ICE raid, and this is what happened. Cut number 12.
When Gerardo was picked up in his driveway, with ICE spotting him as they drove by. His family says waiting on citizenship in a broken immigration system is a costly and long process, and many immigrants desperate for a better life find a way to get to the U.S. I asked Gerardo if he had any regrets.
So he says his decision is fine with him because the reason why he came to this country was to stay with his wife and his family. And he doesn't regret it.
Now he waits for a court hearing to determine if he will get a bond, and then another hearing to give proof that he should be allowed to remain in the U.S. or sent back to his native Mexico.
He's saying, as far as him accepting that the crime that he did, he understands that. But he knows that he's also, like a lot of Hispanics, we feel like the border crossed us. But he understands that, and he hopes that the judge shows mercy because he is not a criminal.
Edgar is thankful for being able to speak with his dad, but each time they talk, it's tough.
It's hard.
In the little English he can speak, Gerardo spoke of his family.
Thank you so much for my problem, for my family. I don't know, my heart is broken.
Say, Papa, he says his heart is broken.
All right. So there's a couple of things I want us to glean from this. First of all, the guy's been in the country 25, 30 years, and he can't speak English. What, you're in our country for 25 or 30 years. Why are you not learning how to speak English? Why are you not taking classes, you know, ESL classes? Many local churches around America have those kinds of classes. But the other thing is this. The guy said there, like a lot of Hispanics, this is the son. The son was being interviewed by the local TV station. Like a lot of Hispanics, we feel like the border crossed us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is acknowledgement of what we have been telling you for ages on this program, that this is not some sort of an invasion as much as it is a takeover of the country. Right? They literally believe that we are living on stolen land. So you basically, these people coming across the borders are not just invaders, they're colonizers. They are literally colonizing the United States of America so one day it can go back to old Mexico. That's what that guy was saying. And this is a result of generations now of young people being indoctrinated in our school that America is evil, America is bad, white people are awful, and that we stole this land, we're colonizers, and we should go back to where we came from. Here's the problem. If you ask these folks, they will tell you that white people have no place. We don't belong anywhere on the planet. It is what it is. But anyway, that is a very telling interview. And again, not from a border state, but from Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, by the way, they don't call it Fat Barbie. It's called Curvy Barbie. No, it's true, Dylan. I thought I was just kind of making that up. It's called Barbie Curvy Body, but these are really not like obese. These are just big boned Barbies, but not like, you know, Papa's fried chicken, you know, 3-piece extra spicy with an extra biscuit. I'm just saying, you okay there?
Yeah.
I wonder if they have celiac disease, Barbie.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just asking.
There's no stopping to this.
No, I mean, where do you start? I get it. They do have a blind Barbie, and it comes.
Oh, no.
No, they do. It's a part of the Fashionistas series. So there you go.
How do you know it's blind?
Well, it's got like the little, the thing.
The walking stick?
The walking stick. My apologies. My brain stopped working. So, but again, it's okay, I guess. I don't understand. But they're doing this for inclusivity purposes. That's all. It just seems to me that if you're a child, the whole point of having a toy is it's a fantasy experience, right? You're pretending to be something else. That's all. Let's go to Barbara in Mooresville, North Carolina. Hi, Barbara. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. First, I just want to say I love your show and I love you.
Uh-oh.
But I wanted to add, about some information about the Barbies being made for certain children's ailments. A friend of mine has a granddaughter, 6 years old, that's been going through cancer, chemo, and someone bought her a Barbie that was bald and came with a wig. A chemo Barbie. And the little girl just adores and treasures this doll. She was so excited to receive that doll while she was going through chemo. So I think those things are very important for children dealing with certain ailments, certain diseases.
Now I feel bad. I feel like a terrible person now, Barbara. Oh, yeah.
It's
called
Little Barbie, and we're excited to receive it.
So this is called Brave Barbie. This is on, they're calling her Brave Barbie, and I don't know if they actually sell. Oh, they do. So that Barbie, they have a Brave Barbie where you can, and it's for cancer patients.
Yeah. And someone also bought her a horse that's for the 18-inch size doll. Like American Girl doll, and it came wearing a mask.
Is that
medical mask
for like COVID or?
Yeah, well, I think because she had to wear a mask while she was.
Oh, I see. All right, I got you. All right, well, that makes sense. But I guess whatever you've got, they can make a Barbie for it.
Well, I think it's great. I'm a diabetic. Had I had diabetes as a child, I would have loved to have had a diabetic Barbie. I played with Barbies, but they didn't make those things when I was a child. I'm 65 years old.
So you remember when we had the boys, we all had the full-size G.I. Joes.
Oh, yes. My 39-year-old son had G.I. Joes that were not huge, but they were, I guess, maybe Barbie-sized. About the same size as Barbie, and bent all different directions. Same with guns and all the military.
Yeah, there you go. Big Jeeps and everything. All right, well, Barbara, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your call. Dylan, now I feel really...
Yeah, you should.
I feel bad.
Terrible.
I had to go to church and pray.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they have an acid reflux Barbie.
Hey, Todd, how about Viagra Ken? And it comes with its own prescription. I just figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you for doing that, Mark, from the Villages. This is not helping matters at all. Not at all. Let's go to the phone lines. I'm in deep doo-doo right now. Let's say hello to Pastor John in Kentucky. You got to help me out here, Pastor.
Todd. I got to say something. I called, by the way, the guy that played General Jackson was Stephen Lynch, by the way. I just want to give that to you.
Very nice.
First of all, this is going out to a lot of your callers that call you upset. Folks, get a life, okay? Todd, you don't need to be, you can defend yourself just fine, but you know what? If you can't have humor, especially the way the world is going right now with the tragedy in Texas, with everything that's going on in LA, people need to start learning to laugh. Something happened when COVID happened. Everybody lost their sense of humor. That's why comedians can't even go on college campuses anymore. Like, I have an idea. How about Ice Agent Barbie and Ice Agent Ken? Okay? How about that? Oh, you don't like it? Too bad. Get a life. But what I'm just saying is, folks, you need to learn to laugh. I mean, even the Lord Jesus has a sense of humor. And that's who you should learn to go off of. And our nation has borders. But what I'm saying is, Todd, you know, folks, get a life. Okay? You don't have to feel bad about anything, Todd. I know you can defend yourself. But, Todd, you know what? You make me laugh. You make my family laugh. You make my Marine Corps veteran wife laugh. And she never laughs at anything except when I fall down and hurt myself.
Oh, wow.
But the point is, Todd, I just needed to say that. So, folks, get a freaking life, learn to laugh, and learn to appreciate what you got before you lose it. I just wanted to say that, Todd. Well, I love you, brother.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Well, thank you for that. You know, here's the thing is the inclusivity. I mean, where do you draw the line? Because I really hesitate to bring this up, but what happens if, you know, you got a butt ugly kid? I mean, sometimes it happens, right? I mean, are they going to have a butt ugly Barbie? I mean, they could call that a G.I. Joe. That's mighty handsome son you have there. Well, actually, that's my daughter. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Jeez, Alou. Folks, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax. We're going to have a great program for you. By the way, Newsmax going public on the New York Stock Exchange. A lot of people excited about this. Millions of people are joining our news revolution. As a matter of fact, we looked at the most recent numbers. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel just behind CNN. And Reuters is calling us one of the top news brands in America. Not surprised there. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news. I want to encourage you to download our free Newsmax app. If you haven't done so on your smartphone, super simple and easy. Takes just a few seconds and you'll be able to start watching right away. You can get that Newsmax app free of charge, by the way, which is pretty awesome. Also, check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. Go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right. Wow, this is a weird story out of Texas. The Texas Attorney General getting a divorce. This news just coming out. So Ken Paxton is the Attorney General running for the U.S. Senate. His wife is a state senator, Angela Paxton, and she has filed for divorce from her husband. And they've been married for 38 years. They have kids and grandkids. But here's the weird part. She made the announcement on social media, on X. I want to read to you what Senator Angela Paxton wrote. Today, after 38 years of marriage, I filed for divorce on biblical grounds. I believe marriage is a sacred covenant, and I have earnestly pursued reconciliation. But in light of recent discoveries, I do not believe that it honors God or is loving to myself, my children, or kin to remain in the marriage. I move forward with complete confidence that God is always working everything together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. It just seems to me that's a little weird to announce your divorce on social media, right? Isn't that, I mean, as much as it could possibly be, should that not be a private matter? Why are you putting all of your business out there? But the problem I have with this is, once you're going to go down that path, you got to put your business out there, and she doesn't do that. She doesn't explain exactly what she means. She says, in light of recent discoveries, what are those discoveries? I mean, are there biblical guidelines, biblical grounds for divorce? Was he unfaithful to her? What exactly is she talking about here? She said, I filed for divorce on biblical grounds. What are those grounds? And again, they're going to be, well, it's a matter of privacy. Come on, Todd. Where is your compassion? Well, I've got compassion, but she's putting it out there on X. Millions and millions of people are seeing this, so I'm just curious what's going on here. And it is going to be, that will be an issue. That will become an issue on the campaign trail with Ken Paxton. Especially if Jasmine Crockett jumps into the race. Good Lord, can you imagine that? What a mess in the state of Texas right now. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here. Scott Jennings, this guy crushing it over on CNN, taking on an entire panel. It was like Scott Jennings versus all of CNN talking about Medicaid benefits for illegals. Take a listen.
Political analysis is wrong. I don't think it's unpopular at all to try to reform an entitlement program to save it for the people who need it, to keep illegal aliens from getting welfare benefits they shouldn't be getting, to encourage people to go to work. I don't think these things should be shied away from by
Republicans. None of that is true. First of all, I think Medicaid
it's exactly
Medicaid
true. It's exactly
true.
What's in the bill.
Federal law prohibits undocumented immigrants
from receiving
Medicaid benefits.
Then why are 1.4 million on it? Why are
That's
1.
A figment of your
million?
Imagination.
It's, no, a,
let me,
it's
let me
a figment of the CBO's
let me,
documents.
Let me explain the facts
It's in the CBO documents.
I'll explain the facts
Is it or not?
Let me explain. It's not, actually.
No, you are lying.
No, that is not, it is not true.
Okay, hang on a second.
You're venting facts out there.
The
Medicaid is...
Hold on, guys.
You're talking about a state program.
Medicaid.
Hold on.
Medicaid is the most popular program after Social Security and Medicare. So a $1 trillion cut to Medicaid, which is what Republicans just did, is not only bad morals and bad economics, it's bad politics. Medicaid is actually more popular than you, Scott Jennings. It has 70% approval rating among Republicans.
How do you know what my approval
More than 80%
is?
Among independents. More than 90% among Democrats. It's political suicide for Republicans to get Medicaid.
I think it's political suicide to come on as a member of Congress and lie about what the CBO
says. The majority of people who benefit from Medicaid are senior citizens and those with disabilities. Almost all Medicaid funding goes toward the elderly, the disabled, children, and working adults.
That's who it's for.
And those are the people for whom it principally benefits.
And it's not for illegals. And Scott Jennings is absolutely right. The only people getting kicked off Medicaid are the freeloaders and the illegals. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. If you're here illegally, you do not get that resource. You do not get those allocations. You just don't. Those are for American citizens, ladies and gentlemen, American citizens. It's insanity, just insanity. Want to take you to Amityville, New York. Remember that movie? Oh, wow, that scared the bejeebers out of me as a kid. The Amityville horror movie. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, it was Superhero Day at Northwest Elementary School in Amityville, New York. Some of the children dressed up like Batman, others Superman, Wonder Woman. A school nurse decided to dress up like an ICE agent. So the way the story is going is that she wore a jacket that had the letters ICE on the back. And so according to the nurse, this was her superhero. I love this story. I love it. So far, so good. But then the school got involved. Apparently, moms and dads are enraged, and they filed complaints, and now they want this school nurse fired. Turns out that most of the kids in this school district are minorities, and the moms and dads were furious, furious. The school district released a statement saying the letters ICE are offensive and inappropriate. Are we taking them out of the alphabet now? Is that what we're doing? We're eliminating two vowels? Is that what we're doing in Amityville, New York? They say the teacher has been removed from the school and is now facing a district investigation. The head of the Amityville Teachers Association condemned the nurse's costume, said there's no place for politics in the classroom. Really? I would be willing to bet a Whataburger that there is a gay pride flag somewhere in some classroom in Amityville, New York, if we're going to go down that path. But it's really odd here because, again, I mean, all you know what's there, they are ready to burn down these schools and run this school nurse out of town. But it seems to me, if you're talking about superheroes, take a look at the ICE agents. These guys are putting their lives on the line every single day. They're pulling these dangerous gangbangers and killers and drug traffickers off of our streets, and they're putting them in jail. I mean, you don't have to be a lunatic over this kind of stuff. I mean, come on. And by the way, you don't have to wear a cape to be a hero these days. You have to wear an ice jacket. I just love this story. Anyway, we'll let you know what happens, but it's not looking good for the school nurse who could end up losing her job. I mean, that's how bad it is. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Another story. This is from Layton, Utah. A former Bath and Body Works store manager said she was fired after she refused to address a transgender employee by his preferred pronouns. Jocelyn Bowden filed a charge of discrimination with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. She was fired in May. She had worked at the store, Bath and Body Works, for 3.5 years. Bowden is a devout member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, the Hanson boys were members. I think they were Mormons. Donnie and Marie, too, all the big singing groups. She said in her charge she was chastised and alienated by coworkers after she was unwilling to address a new transgender employee by his preferred pronouns. My name is Marge. You must refer to me as she, her. Bowden said she addressed the biological female coworker who identified as male by their chosen name, but because of her religious convictions, she could not address the coworker by male pronouns. Oh, so wait a second. So it really is Marge, and she wanted to go by the name Big Mike or something. My apologies. Anyway, according to the filing, team members complained about Ms. Bowden's religiously motivated decision to the HR department. This is from the Daily Wire report. This complaint led to an interrogation into Ms. Bowden's use of pronouns. Can you imagine that? Ma'am, we need to talk to you. Have you now or have you ever used the word he or she? Ms. Bowden indicated her religious objection to Bath and Body Works pronoun policy, including during a discussion with her district manager just 2 days before she had been fired. She filed a discrimination charge after she was terminated. A spokesperson for Bath and Body Works says Bath and Body Works complies with all laws concerning employment practices. We do not discriminate, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think they do here. And good for you, Ms. Bowden. Apparently, the group First Liberty Institute, they handle these religious liberty cases. They are handling the lawsuit against Bath and Body Works. Wow, what a crazy story. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I know a lot of people, they get aggravated by AARP. It's a liberal group. And especially if you're retired, you don't want to have to get aggravated, right? Which is why I'm recommending that people switch over to the Association of Mature American Citizens. It's called AMAC. I am a proud member of AMAC. It is the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're fighting every single day to protect the principles that make this nation great. And the best part about it all, AMAC is not just for, you know, old people. It's for young people, too. If you're 18 to 80 years old, AMAC is for any American who loves the country, wants to see it protected for generations to come. Now, here's the deal. A few bucks a year, you're going to get an amazing magazine, and I love reading their magazine. It's absolutely fantastic. You're also going to get some pretty awesome discounts at restaurants, hotels, all sorts of discounts, and also great resources. And most importantly, you're going to be a part of a growing patriotic community that just won't back down. So here's what I want you to do. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns right now and join the fight to keep America strong. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. I want to go back and revisit something here. This is really a collection, a montage of every time the Trump administration promised to release the Epstein files. Cut number 9, please.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would.
Release the list.
Seriously, we need to release the Epstein list. That is an important thing.
Will you work with me on this issue so we know who worked with Jeffrey Epstein in building these sex trafficking rings?
Absolutely, Senator. Child sex trafficking has no place in the United States of America, and I will do everything, if confirmed as FBI director, to make sure the American public knows the full weight of what happened in the past and how we are going to countermand missing children and exploited children going forward.
Just last week, the president's excellent pick for FBI director, Kash Patel, vowed to work with me in releasing the Epstein records and breaking apart the trafficking rings that harm countless women and children across our country.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that.
All this evidence is sitting in the Southern District of New York.
Yeah.
So based on that, I gave them the deadline, Friday at 8. A truckload of evidence arrived. It's now in the possession of the FBI. Cash is going to get me and himself, really, a detailed report as to why all these documents and evidence had been withheld. It's a new administration, and everything's going to come out to the public. The public has a right to know. Americans have a right to know.
I know the Attorney General has committed to releasing those files. I would defer you to the Department of Justice on her timeline, but when she's made a promise in the past, she has kept it, and I'm certain that she will in this case as well.
Welcome back, everybody. 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Case closed. The Justice Department revealing Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide and insists there is no secret client list out there.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, this is why you have so many people in Congress that are put off by this. Here is Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's got a recommendation. The Republican from Georgia. Cut number 10, please.
Your recommendation is FBI and DOJ need to turn over all the information they have?
My recommendation is this case should not be closed. We have Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison right now, and her little black book was ordered to be sealed under the court. And it has over 2,000 names of rich, powerful people and politicians in that contact list. So it's hard. It's just, look, there's nothing wrong with asking these questions. There's nothing wrong with saying we want to know more about this. And I think I think that's important. It's important to say I support President Trump and his administration while continuing to say we want more answers on this. That's not disloyalty. That's actually thinking for yourself, and it's actually pushing for better accountability. And that's what the American people deserve. And I think it's incredibly important to keep asking those questions. The American people are fed up with what they consider to be being lied to or told a narrative that's not true. And that's what this election was about, not only in 2016, but again in 2020 and 2024. The American people demand that the deep state no longer control this country. The American people demand loyalty and truth and transparency. And that is the right thing to continue to search for.
Yeah. So there you go. And again, I want to put a bow on all of this because, again, we have got to get this administration focused. And, you know, the president also needs to be aware that we do expect him to live up to those campaign promises. And right now, when you look at the DOGE cuts that have yet to be codified, when you look at the Department of Education that is still up and running, when you look at the fact that we are not deporting anybody, that's the problem. We're not deporting these illegals. It's not enough that we arrest them, because that means you and I, we got to feed these people. So it's imperative that we start deporting at a massive, massive level. And it very well may be at the end of the day, that we don't accomplish any of this. And that would be bad for the country, because the midterm elections will be here before we know it, and we'll have nothing to campaign on for Republicans. Nothing. All right, I got to run, folks. Again, 5 o'clock tonight, the Todd Stearns Show. Check it out. Go read all of our content over at toddstearns.com. We're going to be back tomorrow, noon to 3 Eastern, right here on this radio station. God bless, and you be good, America.